Let's pray then. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your love, your mercy, for all these families, for all these children. We ask your blessings upon this day, that we would be reminded, not only as moms, but as fathers, friends, family, what a serious responsibility it is to raise children, to know who you are and know who their what their place is in relation to who you are. We just ask your blessings upon your word, that it would give us instruction, help us analyze where we are and what we have done wrong already and how we can start to correct that so that our children and their children in the generations to come can have a shade, a place that's comfortable, a place that will help look out for them. In Jesus' name, we praise you. Amen. You know, if you pay attention at all to what's going on in the world, you know, this whole issue about women and abortion is at the top of that right now. And it's kind of crazy, isn't it? You can put a man in jail for 6 weeks to 6 months for killing a hummingbird, but you can kill babies and it's okay. I don't know where you are on that. I don't really care where you are on that. But from a medical standpoint, we have so many things now that is without question how early in the conception is a child a human being. Where they try to tell us, oh, really? Because the people that I disagree with, they say, well, it's the mother's right. Well, okay, if the child is 2 years old, can they still kill it? No, but it's not a child yet. That's not what God's word says. And we have so many medical things now that just says it is beyond reason how someone can and look at some of those things that goes on with sonograms and say that that's not really a human being yet. But, you know, it's always been that way. It didn't just start. God's own people were killing their own children when they were offering them to the god of Molech. And they were already born. They were already big enough to carry in arms. And they would take them out there and throw them in the arms of this burning god so that Baal would make them prosperous. It's not anything new. You know, if you think there's not an attack on the family and moms, boy, we're there. We've been there for a long time. But, boy, have you seen what's happened in the last few weeks? You know, how that's going on with the Supreme Court. Now, if you don't agree with what's going on, if it don't go on your side, it's okay to tear everything down and just demolish everything. Well, you know, still, God's in control. I just want to remind us that. But here's what it says, moms. And this applies to all of us. It's not just moms. The righteous are bold as a lion. Wow, you better be bold now if you're going to stand up for anything that's right. Because they're trying to do everything they can to make us cower down and be afraid. Here's what it says. The wicked flee when no one's pursuing. But the righteous are bold as a lion. How about that? What does the righteous mean? We're going to define it. There's a correlation between wickedness and fear and righteousness and courage. You ever thought about that? Anybody in here feel righteous? And righteous simply means this, that you don't have anything wrong with you, that if God looks at you from a spiritual standpoint, God looks at you and you are perfect and you haven't done anything wrong, and so you don't really have anything to worry about. That's what righteous means. Anybody in here feel that righteous? That's what we're going to look at, but it says the righteous are bold as lions. Our conscience tells us we're sinners if we pay attention. You know, God tells us that in Romans chapter 1. He says, you know, I've given you already something. I've given you the creation out there, and I've given you a conscience in you that tells you that there's something wrong, and hopefully that will point you toward me. But we kind of sear that, and we cut it off, and what happens is we dull our conscience to the point that it will not bother us, but in the beginning it does. And the Bible tells us we're sinners. It tells us that. We have that problem. So that may be one of the reasons why there's not much boldness in the world, because everybody feels guilty and they say, well, we don't have any right sin because we already had a problem. That's right. We do have a problem, but this is it. Why is it so many people are timid and why is everybody scared of tomorrow? You know, why is everybody afraid? Well, I don't know what's going to do it. Does that mean God's not in control anymore? That's what we're going to see. These older women in that Peter refers to, he's trying to teach these young women. He says, you need to go back and look at those old ladies in the Old Testament who were holy. And they trusted God. Even they don't know as much as we know now. They haven't seen Christ come in the past, and now we're living on this side of it. They didn't see it yet. Why are everybody afraid? They're fearful or faint-hearted or simply indifferent, and they don't care anymore. And unwilling to take a stand, especially when you got to go against opposition. Why is that? Everybody's afraid. What about it, moms? Are there any mothers in here who feel as bold as a lion? If so, why? Well, that's just my personality. That ain't what I'm talking about. Does anyone? Here's a description in Proverbs 31:25 of a lady who is righteous, who is bold. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And she smiles. I love this. Literally, you can translate it, she laughs, not just smiles. She laughs. Very important. You can translate that way. Do you see what that means? Look at that. Most people are anxious about tomorrow, scared to death. That's why billions of dollars are spent on psychics, palm readers. Everybody wants to know what's going to happen tomorrow. You do know that's a bunch of malarkey, right? Demonic is what it is. And we know people firsthand who've been destroyed by it. But everybody wants to know. So they dump billions of dollars because I want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. That's it. She laughs at the future. I know that's off-center, all right? I have to keep telling you A people because you said, does he know that thing's not right? I said, I know it's right. I've tried 4 or 5 times this morning to fix it and it never so just forget it, all right? She looks in the future's face with boldness and says, do you think you can make me afraid because of tomorrow's coming and I don't know what's going to happen? That's what she's saying. When it says she smiles, she laughs at it. She's looking at the future. Do you think you can dangle all the terrors in front of me, all the miseries that might come, all the sicknesses that might come, all the calamities, all the enemies I may face? You think you can do all that, bring that to me, and make me cower in the corner like a mouse? That's what she's saying. No, I'm not afraid. What are we afraid of? Number one, if you're afraid of dying, you better get that fixed right away because that's coming. 100%. Only 2 people we know that never died. Well, they did die, but they eventually. Well, they never died on this earth. Lazarus died, but he rose again. But 2 that ever never died, and that was Elijah and Enoch. Says God took them. But everybody else, guess what? It's coming. Well, I'm not going to die. Well, you'll be the first one to figure that thing out. You're going to make me afraid? That's what it means when it says she smiles at the future. She's not afraid of tomorrow. And I guarantee you, it's going to bring something that you do not like. Amen? Anybody ever face anything you really didn't like? It's coming, moms. You know the crazy thing about it. You pour all your life in this child and you try to teach them the right thing and they still wind up being a fool. Ain't that disheartening? Huh? But that's what you just got to trust God about. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to do my part. No strength and dignity are my clothing, and I'll laugh at anything you try to threaten me with, devil and world. And that's all it is, the devil and the world. They want you to raise your children one way, and God says, no, it's supposed to be this way. And you're going to go against that, and it's going to cost you if you do it, if you're planting a shade that'll last for them. The righteous woman is bold as a lion. She hears the word. First Peter is this. Peter is trying to teach the church there. He's trying to teach them several things that we will not go into the whole deal. We're just going to pull 2 verses out. But he's trying to teach these young ladies there in First Peter at the church what the old ladies in the Old Testament, how they operated, and trying to use it as an example for them, not to be afraid that they can trust God. Because guess what? They're on this side of so much that God has already done that those ladies in the Old Testament haven't even seen. But yet they exercised their faith, and God counted it to and called them holy, set apart, righteous. In former times, the holy women also hoped in God. And ladies, all of you, and moms, you can become children just like that if you are doing what is right and not always afraid. What are you so scared of? You think we're afraid? If the last 2 years didn't show you how afraid we are, nothing ever will. Pure fear. Control people. It is. It does. What are you afraid of? You're saying, well, God can't handle this. That's what Sarah could have thought. Women who hope in God are as bold as a lion. Who's the king of the jungle? Who's the queen of the jungle? Lioness. That's right. The wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. How about that? The wicked run when nobody's even chasing them. Is there a correlation between boldness and righteousness? If there is, I want to be bold. So how do I get that righteous where I can be bold? Do you want to do that? Do you have any interest in that? How does it do it? Quickly, we're just going to put it real quick. We have to cover a lot real quick. But now apart from the law, you know what that means? You cannot work enough. You can't be baptized enough. You can't give enough money. You can't do anything enough that God will have to accept you. That's what that says. The works of the law. The righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed. He says, it was the same thing in the Old Testament. A lot of people try to say, well, you have to be saved different in the Old Testament. No, same idea. That's why whenever Jesus comes along and he's talking to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus says, I don't understand this. Remember what Jesus said to him? He did it in a nice way. Wait a minute, you mean to tell me you have a PhD in Judaism and you don't know this? It's all through the Old Testament. It's not a brand new thing. God never intended for a bunch of rules to save anybody. Should we guide by those rules? Yes, we should, but they don't save us, not the law. Even the righteousness of God, through what? Faith in Jesus. That's how these ladies are righteous, and that's how they become bold. It's not anything in and of themselves. There's a divine righteousness, a God-sent righteousness, a God-given one that is nothing that you can work up yourself. Men either. Preachers either. No one. We can't produce this ourselves. And that's what Peter's trying to tell them. These ladies, these older ladies in the Old Testament, holy women, he called them, set apart. But through faith in Jesus Christ for all who what? Believe. You have something to do with it. It is God's solution to the problem of sin and condemnation. For after this manner, aforetime, the holy women, is how he was teaching these young ladies. The holy women who hoped in God. Can I tell you this? I know you know it. The governor can't save us. And the president can't save us. I don't care who it is. They're all of them about the same. They're all a bunch of crooks. That's my perspective, all right? None of them can save us. None of them can make us righteous. I don't care who it is. We have good ones and we have bad ones, and we're going to keep having good ones and we're going to keep having bad ones. They can't fix it. Our problem, they can't fix our problem that we have. That's it. Who hoped in what God? Not even the Old Testament Judaism law. That's what he's trying to tell them. They adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. And Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose children ye now are, if you do well, and are not put in fear by any terror. What are you afraid of? Spiders, clowns? No, I'm not talking about that kind of fear, right? What are you afraid of? You're afraid of dying? Well, you better get that one fixed, and you can. Let me read something for you. It's anonymous. I don't know who wrote it. Reflections on motherhood. A mother says, I gave you life, but I cannot live it for you. Some people try to live their life through their kids. Can't do that. It makes a mess of everything. I can give you directions, but I cannot be there to lead you. I can take you to church, but I can't make you believe. I can teach you right from wrong, but I can't always decide for you. All these things have to do with building that shade. You got to do these things so that you're building the shade so that then they can build the shade and they can rest under the shade, number one. I can offer you advice, but I cannot make you accept it, and I can't accept it for you. I can buy you beautiful clothes, but I cannot make you beautiful on the inside. And he really talks about that, and we don't have time to expound that, where he's talking about how they adorn themselves, and this is what they use, and this is what they use. And he was really telling them how they needed to live to be an influence on their ungodly husbands. That's what the whole context is of the thing, actually. I can offer you advice, but I can't make you accept it. I can give you love, but I cannot force it upon you. I can teach you to share, but I cannot make you unselfish. I can teach you respect, but cannot force you to show honor. I can advise you about friends, but I can't choose them for you. I can advise you about your physical life, but I cannot keep you pure. I can tell you about alcohol and drugs, but I can't say no for you. I can tell you about lofty goals, but I can't achieve them for you. I can teach you about kindness, but I can't force you to be gracious. I can pray for you, but I cannot make you walk with God. I can love you with unconditional love all of my life, and I will. But that's about all I can do. Boy, that's right. That's exactly right. Do not put any fear in by terror. What are we afraid of? Are we afraid God can't handle what's going on in our life? Is that what it is? Is that why we're paralyzed? Is that why we have no boldness? Our conscience is convicting us? The Old Testament women who hoped in God, and just remember that, they're looking to the future. God is promising something. We've already seen it. So if anybody has more reason to hope, it should be us. But yet they said, God, I don't understand how you're going to do this. I don't know what you're going to do, but I trust you, and my hope is in you, just like Abram. Remember when Abram called God, when God called Abram out of a pagan land, he said, just trust me, go where I'm telling you. He didn't even know where he was going. He said, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to do what you say. And God said, what? Your faith, I'm going to count it as righteousness. So he's made right before God. That's how that works. The same thing. Hasn't changed whatsoever. Or how could God count them as righteous, acceptable? And they didn't understand how it was going to work yet. The point of Romans is this, that the message of justification by faith was already there in the law and the prophets. It's always been in the Old Testament. It wasn't just brand new in Romans. We'll see in just a moment how finally when Martin Luther saw this, how it changed his life. And it pointed forward to a time. That's what the Old Testament does. They don't know it yet. They don't fully understand how God's going to do it, but they had hope in it. We really do not have any reason not to, unless you're completely skeptic and you say, well, I don't believe in that and I don't believe in that. Well, that's okay. You can choose whatever you want to do. There's just so much evidence out there that proves that a lot of things, extra-biblical things. When they hoped in God, God reckoned them in righteousness. They were justified by faith. That's where they get their righteousness from. That's how they were bold. The bold came from the righteousness. They understood what God had done for them, gave them what they needed to be bold. Wow. That's why so many of them were fearless and bold. Wow. They laugh at the future. When's the last time you started thinking about all the things that's got to go on tomorrow, and then you finally said, God, there ain't no use in me losing my sleep over this. I'm going to do my part, but I know you're going to take care of it. But instead, we lock ourselves up in our house and afraid of everybody. We don't do anything. It says they were righteous and they were bold. Why? Because they had hope. Who is a righteous woman, a righteous man, or a righteous teenager, or a righteous child before God? You know, the only way we can get righteous is to understand we're born not righteous and that nothing else can fix it but the blood of Jesus. The answer of the Old Testament is those who hope in God. The answer of the New Testament, the hope of those who hope in God through Christ Jesus. When you come to the end of the day, men and women, not just ladies, and you're feeling miserably guilty and you don't feel righteous, because you've already been crabby all day with the kids, especially if you homeschool them, hey? We don't have many of those in here, but it's tough. It's not easy on anybody to do that. Or because you wasted your mind and time on some TV show or internet nonsense or TikTok or something foolish. It was some game that means nothing whatsoever. So you're feeling guilty. Conscience is bothering you. Or because you flirted with the idea of leaving your spouse because your anger is like a raging fire. Or because of memories of, you think about all the bad things you did as a child and you realize, my goodness, God can never forgive that. I can never be righteous. And you surely don't feel that. You come to that. Then, if you don't get to that point, the next part can't happen. When you understand all that stuff bad has happened, then you can rest on the fact that because Jesus died on the cross, you can be forgiven and you can be seen as righteous before God. Therefore, you can be bold. Why? Because of what he's done and because you place your faith in him. When you do that, you'll be able to sleep in purity and rise up bold as a lion. Wow. I don't lose much sleep. I don't get much sleep, but I don't lose it. You know what I mean? I can go to sleep. I just can't stay asleep. And it ain't because I'm worrying. I'm not a worrier, thank the Lord. I don't have that problem. I think about things a lot. That's something I learned. I'm going to do my part to fix what can. God, the rest is yours. I ain't going to lose any sleep over it. I'm not going to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Who knows? Tomorrow might not even come. The world might end tonight. Why would I want to waste time on what's worrying about tomorrow? Who will bring charge against God's elect? You can't. Only God's going to judge me. You can't judge me. The president can't judge me. The Pope can't judge me. Joel Osteen can't judge me. Nobody. God, only one. It means that in a general, there is something about wickedness that leads to fear, and there's something about righteousness that gives us boldness. But the fear robs us of our boldness. Why? Because we're afraid. We're afraid. We don't know how it's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. So we're afraid. He said, oh, these older ladies in the Old Testament, they got it. They put it together. Now, please, it doesn't mean that a wicked person is never bold. It doesn't mean that. They do all kind of crazy things that they think is bold. They take all these drugs. They jump off mountains, all the foolish things. It doesn't mean that they never take risks. I don't mean that. But they don't do it for a just cause. They're just doing it out of, I don't know what you call it, buzz. Get a high out of it. But we're talking about when you do something for a just cause, you're trying to build a shade over your kids that will help them. That's a just cause. That's what we're looking at. It is a boldness required to do something good, to do something right. What is it about the wicked that makes us afraid? Your conscience is bothering you. Perfect example. You're flying down the highway and you'll see police. Why do you get so nervous? Because you're already guilty. You know you're speeding. Conscience bothers you. If you're a regular speeder, that's the first thing that's going to happen. I drive down the road, I see police, it don't bother me. Why? Because I don't speed. I do a lot of things, but I don't speed. Two reasons. It's harder to control your vehicle when this fool is running 90 miles beside you if you're running 90 miles an hour. But number two, the faster you go, the more gas you burn. You do know that, right? The more RPMs your engine runs, I don't care what you're driving, it's going to burn more gas. That's why we do these things. Our conscience is bothering us. Why are we so afraid? We haven't gotten something right with God. That's the problem. I believe this. This is my conviction. When people are so afraid, they still have an issue of trusting Jesus. And I don't care what it's about. I'm not just talking about any specific thing. When fear is controlling you, you haven't settled that issue that Jesus is still in control of your life. It might take a lot, according to your personality. I'm not saying it's always easy, but that's the issue. Our conscience, that's the way it works. The earliest example of that is Adam and Eve in the garden. Remember the story? It says that God has been going and meeting with them and walking with them and talking with them in the cool of the garden. And we don't know how long it's been going on, but he's been meeting with them. Now, after they sinned, their conscience is bothering them. So they're in the garden. And the moment God starts to, he's just going to talk to them. It doesn't say he's pursuing them. He's just coming back. He said, well, I left you here yesterday and I was meeting with you, so I want to meet with you again today. And all of a sudden, they're running high. Why? Their conscience is bothering them. Why? Because they're guilty. They have fear. Are they bold then? Oh, no, they're not. They're scared. Why? Because they haven't dealt with that issue. They haven't settled the fact that God's still in control. If they'd have been obedient to start with, this never would have happened. But, you know, all of us know more than God knows, right? Hello? If you don't, why don't you do what he says? If you don't think you have a better understanding, well, I know that's what Jesus said, but it doesn't apply to me because we're in a different culture. No, that ain't the way it works. When it says, thou shalt not lie, that's what that means. When thou shalt not commit adultery, that's what that means. There is no, oh, wait a minute, this circumstance is different. He acts wickedly, believing that the serpent instead of God. So he's afraid. That's what it is. Our conscience bothers us. God's not stalking him. He's just walking and wanting to talk to him. They were not the same. That's the way it is. I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid. Why are you so afraid? Why are we so afraid as people? The wicked flee when no one is pursuing. Adam's running, and God's not even chasing after him. Oh, he does go after him because he wants to save him. He wants to make it right for him. But God is not chasing him. That's not why Adam's running. Adam's running because his fellowship is messed up, and he's afraid, scared for his life. So he's running. That's what it is. Wicked people will not make things right. So it bothers them. You know, all of us have something that we have to deal with. And Jesus said he would forgive us if we would trust him. So it's not like that there's anyone perfect. There is no one perfect. But the fact is, do we want to make it right? And do we know how to make it right? We try to make it right ourselves, manipulate the system, manipulate people, and it still doesn't work. So we end up in the same place always. Who are the lion-hearted righteous? David, remember what David said? How blessed are those whose sins, transgressions, are forgiven. If you know God doesn't have anything against you, why are you worrying about anybody else? Why are you worrying about what anybody says? Why are you worrying about what anybody thinks? Why do you care if they don't like your clothes? Why don't they care if they don't like your personality? Who cares? God's the only one that counts. That's what he says. Whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. We should be the freest people on the earth. How blessed is man against whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. The righteous ones are the ones who trust in the Lord, the ones who have faith, and that their hope on the mercy and the power of God. Thank the Lord he has mercy. Eh? You don't need mercy. Oh, boy, you need to back up then. You need to check yourself because you are missed it. All we need to do is ask somebody around you how you living your life, and they'll say, oh, yeah, I have to show them mercy every day because they act like a fool too many times. We all do. These are the ones against whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and whose sins are forgiven. Wow. Those are the ones who are free from fear. What does Hebrews say? Their conscience are sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. We're trusting Jesus to take care of that. That stuff doesn't weigh us down. Have we made a mistake? Oh, boy, we've made a lot of them. Am I counting on Jesus' righteousness to cover it for me? Yeah, it doesn't mean I continue in it, but I have made them in the past. You know, that's one thing. I haven't seen the movie, but I think that's one thing why the left hates the movie Father Stu. What's the guy's name who made Wahlberg, yeah, who's a Catholic and made this movie about a Catholic priest. And it looks like, from what I've read, he's trying to tell this woke community, we can be forgiven. I might not agree with how he says we're forgiven. But he's simply saying this, just because you made a mistake back there doesn't mean we're going to crucify you. You know, only the people who are trying to do the right things, they're the only ones who made a mistake back there 20 years ago. So now the left wants to just crucify them because they made a mistake, but nobody on the left ever made a mistake. Ain't it right? I mean, literally, ain't it right? And he's coming out here saying, yes, you can be forgiven. God will. We have all made mistakes, and we all can still be righteous because of Jesus, and we can, in our righteousness, be bold. And we don't have to do what everybody else does. We don't have to watch what everybody else watches. We don't have to go what everybody else does. We don't have to date fools that everybody else are dating. We don't have to do that. You know, I'm sorry. Did I just yell? I just yelled, didn't I? Y'all can hear me though, right? I don't yell at home. I don't have them fool dogs to yell at anymore. They're gone. And cats, that's a whole different world, ain't it? I never had a cat before. They're like some people I know. They don't listen at all. So there really ain't much use in talking to them. You know, just say, oh, you on your own there, hoss. I'll give you something to eat, and that's about all I can do. Their hearts no longer condemn them. There's no fear. You're not worrying about what God's going to think. Why? Because you've taken care of that because Jesus took care of it. So you are free to be bold to do the right thing. You know, anybody can be a drunk. Anybody can be a drug addict. It's easy to do that. You know, the boldness is when you say, I'm not going to do that. And you'll take it, boy, you'll take a lot of hits from people just making fun of you. You know, all my life when I grew up around alcohol and I didn't drink, people were always making fun of me. And even though I was a young person, I had enough sense in Jesus to understand, I don't care. I'm never going to drink because I know what it does. I saw it all my life. And thank the Lord God delivered it from me. There's no reason I shouldn't be an alcoholic today. I'll just go ahead and tell you that. But it takes a lot more to do the right thing. That's why, moms, what kind of influence you have on your children to build that shade now to help protect them? You have to teach them how to think. With this world and this culture, they have to analyze everything and look at it and say, wait a minute, just because everybody else is going down that road, it doesn't mean I need to go down it. That's what that means. Bold. And you may be ostracized, and you may find a lot of times you're right by yourself. That's okay. What is the root cause of a woman's greatness? The answer is in verse 5. Since the holy women... He's talking about those in the Old Testament who hoped in God. God, we're going to trust you. Boy, we don't understand all this, but we're going to trust you. It's tough, isn't it? It's tough to do the right thing. Everybody's laughing at you, making fun of you. So we're not going to have anything to do with you if you keep doing it. Sometimes you say, thank the Lord. What a blessing. If there's ever a time we need to be bold, boy. I didn't say be ugly. I said be bold. Sometimes I get kind of, when you get into politics, I kind of get ugly, you know, I must say. They say I am anyway. You know, the truth is the truth, though, you know. I hate to say it that way, and I'm supposed to be, that's enough of that, all right. I'm working on it. If you just know how much I held back, you would appreciate it. God needs us to be bolder than ever now. And we can only do it through Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, why are you so merciful to us? We say we trust you, and then we don't really care what you think. We go ahead and make up our own mind, do our own thing, go along with everybody else because we don't want everybody to like us. Lord, convict us. Send your Holy Spirit to convict us. Send somebody in our life to arrest our attention so that we can start to analyze how we're living our life for the sake of those that are coming down behind us. What are we doing to help them that you'll be glorified? Help us be honest. Lord, help us be bold for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.